So today we will hear chapter 4 and chapter 5 of this poem, and we will hear about how, first of all, many arrangements are being made for this festival, how the Adivas is celebrated, which is the day prior to the Abhishek festival, how this is honored. And then we will hear of Srimati Radharani's journey on the following day, the day of this festival, right up to the gateway of the Abhishek Mandap. The moment that Radha's Abhishek arrived, all auspicious omens appeared. The Vrajavasis felt as blissful as they did on the appearance day of Krishna. Overwhelmed with joy, Govinda, desiring to see Radha decorated in the auspicious items of the Abhishek and seated on the best of thrones in the topmost forest of Vrindavan, ordered Vrinda. So Krishna told Vrinda, "O Vrinda, Radha will not come until the time of the Abhishek. But utilizing my potency, you must fulfill Lalita's promise quickly and swiftly." So Lalita had promised that no matter what happened, Srimati Radharani was going to become Vrindavan Ishwari. "Make all the arrangements in such a way that when the elder ladies come, they will be very happy and Radha and I will not become embarrassed. Arrange all these things for this event." Now, to avoid Srimati Radharani's embarrassment, this festival will be known as, Krishna is saying, as my festival, named Madhav Mahotsav, although her name is understood. So Vrinda Devi set about to do this work. And Krishna, meanwhile, went to see his cowherd friends who were also preparing for this festival, and he went to herd the cows. So Krishna and Radha were both eager to see each other's happiness on this occasion. But meanwhile, Purnamasi was wandering here and there, arranging for all the services. Vrinda Devi stood in a very elevated position, very high up, and from that position, just like an Akashvani, a voice in the sky, she gave directions in a very gentle and sweet way to all the ladies. She told Purnamasi, the greatest of yoginis, to quickly arrange to bathe Radha on a golden throne with jewels in the land of Vrindavan. Then she told her that first you must prepare to perform the Adivas. She told her to take all the elderly ladies, the auspicious elderly ladies like Kirti Devi, Yasoda Devi, Rohini Devi, and so many more elderly ladies from Raj, and bring Radha and her friends. And then, after you have brought the elderly ladies and Radha and her friends, also collect the followers of the Gandharvika named Chandrakanti and bring them also. She said, "Then we will have the Adivas, and you will realize the sweetness of the Vrindavan forest, Radha's glories, and the beauty of the meeting of Radha and Krishna." Vrinda continued. She told Purnamasi that Radha should be bathed on the full moon Tithi on the coming month of Madhu. But today, this particular day, is the day that is arranged for the Adivas, or the pre-ceremony. Then, Vrinda told Radha not to be shy, because imagine, so many arrangements were there. She said, "Radha, do not hesitate, thinking that you are shameless. For this ceremony will destroy all sorrow. It is commonly seen that women appear publicly without any shame in accepting someone as their husband." So, to give an example of when one can feel no shyness to come in a public array, she was encouraging Srimati Radharani to be happy on this occasion. So then, so many things began to take place. A flood of ladies came and they were all busy preparing, and everyone was extremely blissful. And meanwhile, Danista, Kundalata, and Nandimukhi arrived. Now these three gopis come from Nandagram. And Kundalata particularly is the cousin of Krishna. And she's very favored for bringing messages from Mother Yasoda to Srimati Radharani. So they came and they began to describe what excitement was going on in Nandagram. How Nanda Maharaj had woken up this morning and he was full of so much enthusiasm. And the cowherd boys couldn't sleep throughout the night. And Mother Yasoda had woken up and she wanted to distribute things to all the ladies, give gifts and make everything very auspicious. And how Kirtida Devi was crying, so ecstatic that this wonderful occasion was coming. So she said that they are all begging you to perform this Adivas very, very quickly. Meanwhile, Krishna and his friends were walking backwards and forwards in great excitement, and there was only one party who was feeling very, very, very sad at this particular time, and we can understand that this was Chandravali and her dear friend Padma. Padma was feeling most afflicted to see that Srimati Radharani was receiving this honor. So Kundalata was telling this about how Chandravali was feeling. But she said that all the other beautiful gopis from Vrindavan, they're all going to Radha's house with tears of joy in their eyes. So Purnamasi heard all this news and felt very enlivened, and ordered the preparations for the Abhishek to continue, and everybody became busy in their own services. So just hear of this. The craftsmen became very busy painting, and the writers were busy recording the events, which were astonishing for the whole world. Using their hands and their creative minds, the Sakis produced the best of ornaments for Srimati Radharani for this occasion. And over the jewel-embedded marble floor rose a canopy shining like the eastern mountain, crested with the full moon in autumn. As the golden-limbed cowherd women placed broad golden pots on sapphire altars, incense spread everywhere like clouds. To enhance the Abhishek, they hung garlands of Kadamba flowers, which appeared like rows of swinging lamps. So this was so beautiful. Please try to imagine the beauty of this occasion. Then the voices of the gopis were heard everywhere as they came together. And they brought Srimati Radharani and seated her on a beautiful golden throne. Then they bathed her, the gopis bathed her and dried her body and dressed her in fresh silk. Then everybody who was present had ghee lamps and they offered their love to her in this beautiful fashion. And they felt great happiness. Srimati Radharani was decorated with musk, chandan, and various fragrances. And while all this was taking place, the young gopis who were decorating Srimati Radharani so beautifully, they began to think in their minds, oh, it would be so nice if Mother Yasoda and the other elderly ladies were here also to create some auspicious feeling at this particular occasion. And just as they were thinking this, immediately this thought came. The elderly gopis of Vrindavan also arrived to observe this function. Embracing the body of Radha, they became auspicious with the scent of her body. When Yasoda's eyes, brimming with tears, embraced Radha, it confirmed that Radha had attained lordship over the forest of Braj, even before the Abhishek. In reality, Yasoda had natural, spontaneous love for Radha, which certainly could not be expressed properly in such a formal way. So, of course, everybody here is brimming with spontaneous emotions, but this formal ceremony is also to take place. Rohini immediately embraced Radha and smelt her head in love, and her whole body erupted in ripplelations, and then she became very, very joyful. She said, "I regain my life by looking upon the beauty of Radha." Then elderly Mukhara came. Mukhara is Srimati Radharani's grandmother, and she's a little eccentric and also hard of hearing. And sometimes she sort of blunders into certain situations, and the gopis remove her by teasing her in some way. So Mukhara comes, and Jiva Goswami says she started kissing Radha on her lips over and over and over again. And everyone started to laugh because Mukhara was so eccentric in her affection for Radha. Who could not help but smile upon witnessing this? Then Kirtina Devi came, but she did not want to disturb any of the arrangements of the beauty of Radha's ornaments. So she instead embraced her very gently and said, "My daughter, do not cover your face. These women have come as my guests to see you on the occasion of this festival." So then, all of the elderly women blessed Srimati Radharani, and together they took her, and they all went from that place in the midst of a big procession with instruments and chanting and singing of mantras, and Purnamasi chanting Vedic mantras and so forth. And they took Srimati Radharani from this place and walked all the way. After they had finished ornamenting her in the official ways of the ceremonies, they took her and they walked to the place where the Abhishek was going to be performed the next day. Mother Yasoda led the way, and they accompanied Radha to the Abhishek Mandap. The women of Braj, anyone who has been in Vrindavan and wandered in Vrindavan, will have heard the ladies of Braj, even today, they sing so sweetly, very, very charmingly. So all the women of Braj were singing sweet songs for Radha's pleasure as they were walking on this path. And they surrounded Radha and playfully acted while proceeding down the path. Now, as they were all proceeding on this path towards the place of the Abhishek, Radha satisfied everyone with cheerful words, but inwardly she was thinking, "Oh, when will I have a chance to see Krishna? It seems as though it is going to be a long time." You can just imagine all these formalities are taking place and so many people are coming. And where is Madhava? So she was thinking and thinking, and as she was walking, she was even praying to the road and saying to the road, "My dear pathway, Madhava has walked on you. Please, please, please bring him to the pathway of my eyes." And she derived her satisfaction as she was proceeding with the other ladies from murmuring to herself in this way. Then after they had reached the edge of the place where the bathing would take place, at all four sides of the bathing arena, the women and children stared at Radha with wide-opened eyes and great longing. The Sakis saw that the bodies of the beholders were transformed with love and their faces were decorated with Radha's sweet pastimes. They watched Radha enter the eastern courtyard, which was skillfully decorated with pictures, flowers, canopies, and full kumbhas at the junction of the four paths. Then they themselves entered. So they watched Srimati Radharani as she performed the worship of the place. Everything was very, very perfectly arranged, with various items on the occasion of this festival, and they themselves, in their minds and hearts, worshipped Radha themselves as she was performing this ceremony. And then after all of these performances had taken place, then Yasoda and Purnamasi and the other elderly women satisfied Radha by blessing her again and again with their bodies, their minds, and their words. And then they desired to send her home. So they walked with her, and they took her back, and filled with bliss, they returned home with the village women. The following morning, everyone in Vraj now was full of complete excitement and exuberance because now the day for this wonderful festival had arrived. The sleeping children woke up with exuberance at the end of night and found that their hair was standing on end. On this occasion, the cowherd men gave an order not to milk the cows. The cows, however, as if disobeying this order, turned the earth into the milk ocean with their free flow of milk. After quickly completing her morning duties, Purnamasi met the gopis and blessed them. Then she sat on an asana to accept their worship. So now, this auspicious day had come, and everyone in Braj was excited. So naturally you would think that the gopis, Krishna's, Srimati Radharani's friends, would be the most excited. But when Purnamasi arrived, they all had downcast, unhappy faces. So she asked them, "What is the difficulty?" And Lalita spoke. She said, "Please hear why we sent Vrinda to bring you this morning." She said, and then she spoke a little riddle. She said, "The light of the moon always gives protection to the kumud, or the lotus, by giving its own juice. And that is why the real Padmas have wilted." And what does this mean? She's about to tell Purnamasi that Padma and Chandravali, Padma acting according to her nature, but not for fulfilling Krishna's pleasure, has schemed, made a plan on the early morning of the festival, and she has decided to create some dissension. Her idea is that she would send some women to talk in the ear of elderly Jyotila, of all people. And Jyotila has heard some information that has made her very disturbed, and she has decided that she is going to cancel Srimati Radharani's attendance of this festival. These women told Jyotila, they said, "Now we have come to you for your help. Today, by good fortune, your daughter-in-law will be installed with an abhishek. But protect her very carefully from the eyes of Mukunda. If he happens to see her, we cannot be responsible for the consequences. Krishna is very fond of flirting, and he's very attractive to women who strictly follow the codes of Dharma. Suddenly, such women give up all their respect for their elders, and they run to meet him. We have heard this, that he will come and see this festival. So you should prevent his coming and protect your daughter from fear, illusion, and all obstacles." Now, Purnamasi is told that when Jyotila heard this, she became very disturbed, and she decided that she wasn't going to let Radharani out of the house for this occasion. She said, "Let the whole thing go to Rasatala, or let it go to hell. I don't care. My daughter-in-law cannot come for this occasion." So all the Sakis now have very much given way and succumbed to anguish on hearing this news. But when Purnamasi listens to this, she thinks very wisely and she says, "Don't worry, give up your lamentation." She said, "You know, there is a story," and she tells them about two demons called Sunda and Upasunda who destroyed each other. So there are two things here. One is that Jyotila doesn't want Krishna to come, and the other one is she doesn't want Radha to come. So Purnamasi says, "Like these two demons were destroyed by each other, don't worry, I can take care of this." And suddenly, just at that moment, elderly Jyotila arrives, and she comes into the occasion. Now, I forgot to inform you that at the Adivas, after this wonderful ceremony, the pre-ceremony, which is quite natural in Vrindavan, all the ladies took milk products and began to throw them at each other. They throw ghee and yogurt and butter and milk, and they have such a wonderful time. And in the midst of this occasion where all the gopis were throwing milk products at each other, there was a blood-curdling scream as somebody had thrown a great amount of milk products at Jyotila Devi, and she had fallen backwards in a shock. And Srimati Radharani, realizing that her sister-in-law, Kutila, was also present on this occasion, she lowered her head very quietly, and she didn't let any smile come from her lips. So here Jyotila again is arriving for this part of the festival. And Purnamasi, with a happy heart, told her this old story about these two demons who destroyed each other. And then she said, Jyotila, Vraj is famous as a place that destroys sins, and thus the people live here peacefully without the presence of any demons. In Vraj, therefore, what anxiety can there be for the Abhishek of your daughter-in-law? In the presence of a peaceful soul like me. Jyotila could say no more, because Purnamasi, she's the one at the top. She's the one in control of everything. So catching Purnamasi's feet, Jyotila said with tears in her eyes and a choked voice, she said, "Oh Devi, I know my daughter to be like a sacrificial altar, which must be offered only to qualified people. Please protect her." And Purnamasi said, "So be it." So then, after that, after having appeased elderly Jyotila, the Sakis again received Radha back, and they became very joyful, and they prepared for the procession that was going to take place on this special occasion. So in this procession, everybody arrived, and first of all, there was one group came. This was the mothers of Radha and Krishna. They came, and Purnamasi came chanting many mantras as she was walking. And then behind the elderly ladies came some musicians. And then after the musicians came, there were many ladies carrying flowers and puffed rice and other ingredients. Then Purnamasi, as I said, came with the Brahmins' wives, and following them came many dancing girls, all dancing very beautifully. And then the flute players and the veena players followed in this procession. Behind all of them were the young girls, very young girls, like we saw Padma yesterday, just little girls, all carrying all sorts of special, auspicious items that would be used in this particular festival. Meanwhile, as this procession was proceeding, Vrinda was wondering, where is Radha? When will she come? At this point, Srimati Radharani left her house, surrounded very tightly by her girlfriends. They were walking on each side of her, and each one was carrying some special offering for this particular festival. And the demigods from above were showering flowers, but they were showering them so carefully that they should not extinguish any of the beautiful ghee lamps that were lit, jeweled lamps on either side of the pathway leading to the festival mandap. And the flowers were coming down. It appeared like a canopy that continuously was over the head of Radha as she and her gopi friends walked. And while they were walking along, all the beautiful demigoddesses came to see this special occasion. And some of them, seeing the beauty of Srimati Radharani, they became very ashamed of their own beauty. And they felt humbled seeing Radharani, and they began to say, "She is so fortunate, she is so fortunate." Whereas other demigoddesses, they decided to transform themselves into gopis also, and they attended this festival and they mingled with the other gopis who were coming along in this procession. Meanwhile, as they were walking on this path, all the elderly gopis who had already arrived at this Abhishek Mandap, they were now turning to return. They were going back because Mother Yasoda and Kirtita Devi, they wanted only to see that everything was very nice, then they were leaving. So they, as they were walking back, they approached Radha to offer her hand to Purnamasi, bathing themselves in tears. In pleading voices they said, "We have offered Krishna and Radha to your hands, but today we are especially offering her to you. You are the only one who can protect this life-giving herb, nourished with the beauty of this upcoming festival." Then they embraced Radha, and crying, they all returned home. Meanwhile, as they were walking, the gopis were saying to Radha, "Oh, Radha, look!" And they were pointing out so many beautiful arrangements that the forest of Vrindavan was making for this particular festival. They said, "Look at the champak creepers. They're swaying in the breeze as if they have hundreds of hands, and with their hands they're offering aarti to you. And listen to the sound of the cuckoos. They're singing, and as if they're playing, they're singing, and the bees are as if playing instruments with the wind. So their singing is perfected. And look at the parrots who are all sitting, because parrots, as you know, they're always flying here and there and making a squawking sound. But all these parrots were sitting together and they were singing very beautifully for Radha's pleasure. And look at the does, their fawns have left their mothers with the grass in their mouths to come and wander to the side of the pathway to see you. And they have become wonderstruck by the beauty of your doe-like eyes. The followers of Vrinda and the protectors of Krishna's forest have gathered together to observe this festival for you. But bewildered by your beauty, they are repentant because they are not able to do their duties." So in this way, they walked on this path to this Abhishek arena. And when they arrived there, they finished their in this way the Sakis finished their description of Radha, and the heavenly women met her, giving bliss to all with her beauty, the finest in creation. Radha arrived at the gate, and at the gate she met Vrinda Devi and Purnamasi, who were waiting to greet her and bring her in to this beautiful Abhishek Manda. The moonlight of Radha's face rose in the Abhishek Manda. The eyes of all onlookers, like rows of chakora birds, were anxious to drink the nectar streams of her beauty. But touching just a drop of that beauty, they became both intoxicated and stunned. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes this fifth chapter by saying, "I eternally serve the beautiful Krishna and Srila Rupa Goswami, the servant of Krishna, who bestowed the light of their toenails to this suffering soul, who completely cleansed the mirror of my heart through the bestowal of invincible bhakti, and who gave me a Chintamani gem, though I desired other things."